I've explained this before. Life has seasons, he has stages. In each season, there's something that God is doing. All right? In each stage, there's something that must be accomplished. Now, for John the Baptist, he was supposed to prepare everybody for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you saw here is the fact that those who rejected John the Baptist, please follow what I'm trying to explain. Those who rejected John the Baptist were the antagonists of Jesus Christ. That is, the rejection of John manifested in their lives as antagonism towards the Lord Jesus. Not because they hated Jesus himself. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. If you're following me, say amen.
Amen.
That is, when John came, you have to accept John if you will accept Jesus Christ when he will come. Very important. So what you find here is that those people who were already fighting John because he was speaking some truths to them, they were the ones unable to accept Jesus when he finally came. And that's how life is. Just listen, people will tell you, for example, believe in the gospel of prosperity. Believe in healing. In fact, a man is sick. He said, just be confessing this. When he was well, did he believe the gospel? You understand what I'm saying? That it was for well people? I don't know whether you follow what I'm going to explain. The other day, my wife and I were talking. You know, I tell my wife that, look, you have a problem. You want to change the world. I don't know what I can explain. My wife wants everybody to behave properly. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It just says, you know, I just have this habit. I don't care. You know what I mean is this. I don't really care. If you want to behave badly, as long as you do your bad behavior outside my house, I'm okay. You understand my point? If you want to drive recklessly, just don't jam me. Don't jam other people. Jam a tree. You follow what I'm saying? Yes. Once it is a tree, you jam. And the tree does not belong to me. And does not belong to my church. Or anybody that I know. Go into the bush. Jam an Iroko tree. That's been there for the last 200 years. I'm not saying I like it like that. Oh. I'm just saying if that's your decision, it is your decision. But you know, my wife is a very nice person. She wants to hold your car. Why are you jamming the tree? Why are you jamming the tree? So I say, baby, leave the man now. Is the tree complaining? Now, please, notice something. I'm not saying I'm a good man. I'm just telling you the way I am. And yes, I think I'm actually the good guy in that area. You know why? There are so many things that a man can carry in one lifetime in his head. So, I'm going to explain something. So, my wife gets upset a lot of times. So, the other day, she was not telling me that, how come people can't believe God for this kind of thing? Maybe she sees people in distress. Why can't they just believe God for higher things? Believe God for higher things. And he's like, I don't understand for Christians. So, I just like, say, I know they're here. You know what I'm saying? Just wonder what you are doing. So, don't you agree with me? Yes, I agree with you, but there's only one problem. Before they enter that distress, what did they ever believe God for that you know? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That why are you getting angry that they are not reaching for the great power of God when things are down, when nothing is down, the small power of God, did they care about it? I remember one of the examples I gave my wife last time. I said, listen, the people you are shouting, they should believe God. They should believe God. I said, wait, which church do they go to? What messages do they hear? Are you following what I'm going to explain? I said, wait, the last time you told them, take this book, read it, it will bless your life. What did they tell you? They rejected the books. They don't go to a church where they hear the word of God. And even that church, they go only once in every 2 weeks. At the end of the day, in the time of distress, you are saying, believe God, believe God, believe God. That is a problem. John the Baptist is supposed to prepare you for the day of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? The time of John the Baptist, interesting part about John, John doesn't give you difficult things to do. John just tells you, what do you do? I'm a part-time criminal, sir. Stop stealing. Say, yes, sir. Come, let me wash away the stealing you did before. He baptizes you and says, now go and sin no more. Is anything hard in it? John never said, follow me. Let your father die in peace. Did you ever see John say any of such difficult things? A Jesus that will come and say, You want to know the way to eternal life? Go and sell all that you have. Yay! Are you serious about it? My car, my stocks, the ones in GTB and in Facebook. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, yes. After selling, what should I do? I should invest in a bigger company. No. Give to the poor. Wait. And you come and follow me and start living like John and Peter. He said, wait, we'll talk about this eternal life when I'm old. I'm coming. Because the Bible emphasized that he was a young man. You know, if he's an old man, it's so easy. A lot of people just be repenting recklessly. What sin can you commit now? He's a 65-year-old man. He just gave his life to Christ. He has done all the iniquity. Some of them, God is just looking at them and say, you think I'm a fool? 30 years ago, I came to your house. Repent, 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 not repent. Now you are 65. He got the check, say, well, let's just make sure, just in case. So the Lord emphasized to us, this one was what? Young. So because he's a young man, the guy calculated and said, no, no. Now, I'm not going to say something to you. Jesus is here. John the Baptist never asked such things. John only used to shout when you go and collect your brother's wife, to the king, Herod. You go and collect somebody else's wife. John said, ah, why now? Why now? Something that if you were just a basic, decent person, you should be able to understand why you shouldn't do it. But this is the issue. Obedience to John is what makes it possible for you to sell all that you have. Some of us look at Jesus just came and said, Peter, follow me. And the Bible says, straight away, he left everything. Go and read it well. Before, that's how he was following John. But the following of John was part-time. That's how come Jesus met him where he was fishing. Go and check it now. These were the disciples of John. Following John was part-time. So they will go and follow John, listen. They will help John do baptism and all of that. After that, they go back to what? Fishing. So when Jesus came and said, you follow me, the guy was used to following somebody. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? He was used to following somebody. Go and check it. All the people that Jesus called, at least the one that the story was told well, all right? The ones that we know what really happened, they were not strangers to the idea. The day John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, they were present. And so he told them, it wasn't everybody he was telling, it was them. Behold the Lamb of God. Because immediately they ran after him. I said, Master, good afternoon, sir. Where your house? Are you going home? Let's escort you. John, are you getting my point? John had warned them. He said, they had told them, that's him, that's him. They were waiting for him before then. So when he said, come and follow me, some of us think that they just woke up one morning, they don't know what came upon them. I went to work today fishing for my father. Suddenly, Jesus just came and said, follow me. No, it was, I should follow you. Are you serious? Thank you. That is, they were waiting for him. Now he now said, follow me. This is why I tell my wife, I say, look, if a man who wants to jam a tree, go and check. He's been smoking, using cocaine, he's on drugs. Now he wants to commit suicide. Why are you the one holding his car? Do you understand my point? Not because I'm wicked. This guy has been plotting for premature death for a long time. When he now wants to jam a tree, I should now go and put myself in front of it. I'll just clear away all the innocent people. Say, sir, this is the safe tree to jam. That's just my attitude to it. Jesus did not force anybody who did not follow John to follow him. Bear that one in mind. So what is the number one hindrance this time around for today? To deeper truth. When people neglect the simple truths, that's it. They neglect it. The time that it was simple to believe, they neglected it. That is one major hindrance to the understanding of the truths of God. And that, listen, I was telling you, I said, look, there were things we learned those days. And then, we have to grow beyond them. Let me say it to you. If we did not learn the things of childhood during childhood, we never will have had the capacity to understand the things that had to do with adulthood. So that nobody will understand that I'm speaking, badly of those days. No. it was that season. But I'm just saying that when the time comes to go beyond that season, we must recognize it and go beyond that season. But what's my word for today? If you did not participate in that season, you will not be able to understand the word for the next season. I hope you're following the point I want to make. Very, very important too. I think I can leave that and continue. So you see, those who did not obey John did not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But another thing I want us to understand concerning, and this one's very, very important, especially for those who have obeyed John. I've explained a principle that when those people don't obey John, they can't obey Jesus. But then there's one problem with those who obeyed John. This is their own weak point. Their own Achilles heel, where they often fail. Now, this one I want to explain is a very serious problem. And how to tackle it is very, very simple anyway, but we must understand it. Let's read this. Let me just continue talking because I just look at time. Time is really going very, very fast. So let me just continue talking. One of the things you find out is this. When men are used to the old wine, do you understand my point? They usually find it hard to receive the new. Like Jesus said, no one who's used to drinking the old wine, you know, how does he say it again? That scripture. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. When men are used to the old wine, you bring them the new, they are reluctant to move to the new. Now, there is something you will understand about truth and revelation, understanding. God doesn't just give it to you because you are curious. Do you hear what I said? The fact that you prayed for understanding is not all you need to be able to receive it. You must have a heart of understanding. Now, I know what I'm not. I will explain it further. You must have a heart that can receive understanding. I'll just say this thing. Maybe you'll be able to get it if I just say it straight. Let me give you an example. One day I was somewhere, a man was talking. And don't ever do this. And he was laughing at people who are looking for miracles. I've told the story in one of my tracks. This was many, many years ago. And so he was laughing. I know there's something about religions. People are in different groups. If you see Catholics, they hate Anglicans. Anglicans hate Catholics. You know, some of my Pentecostals think Catholics are stupid. Catholics think these people are protesting against no protest. You know, all those kind of things. You know me enough now. Me, I don't care who you are. I mean, just love the Lord. Are you getting my point? And wherever you are, your bishop can be wrong. Your archbishop can be wrong. And if he's wrong, even though you are going to his church, go to the other church and check what is going on there. Ken Hagin will tell you that when he was a Baptist those days, all right, the Baptists did not believe in faith and divine healing. So he was a Baptist pastor, but he used to go for Pentecostal fellowships. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, so the man was one of those, and he was laughing that day, and I was getting grieved. I was getting grieved. He said that they said they are looking for miracles, and he was laughing. So they are speaking in tongues. You know, it's good God doesn't give you power the way you want it. God, that's why I just do with power. Just under the table, I just throw it for your mouth. The mouth could just hook. But the Lord didn't give me that, so I was just getting angry. So after a while, I said, Augusta is a senior person, all right, in age to me. So I said, sir, what you are saying now, as you are, is that you don't want a miracle. You know, it was the Holy Spirit gave me word for him. It's good word. I said, you are saying to me now you don't want a miracle. This is where I cornered him. Suddenly he was in a corner. He couldn't say, yes, I don't want, or no, I don't want a miracle. Or no, yes, I want a miracle. Which one is yes or no now? Anyway, he couldn't say, because if he said he wanted a miracle, I would say, so what is funny about those looking for it? If he says no, you understand my point? So the man stammered. He stammered. He said, I'm okay. I said, you are okay. He said, yes, I'm okay. I said, thank God you are okay. I think we should join hands and thank God that you are okay. But what about those who have cancer? What should they do? They are not okay. What about those who are broke? They have no money from anywhere. I said, they are not okay. I said, what about those who have been out of work for a long time? They are not okay. Why shouldn't they ask for a miracle? The man shut up. That's when I realized that the Holy Spirit spoke through me. He didn't utter a word after that. It was just divine wisdom. If you are okay, some other people are not okay. I'm going somewhere, please. One thing you should avoid is unnecessary criticism of things you don't understand. A lot of people, that is why if they want a miracle, they won't get it. Because there was a day they sat down and they were watching people going for a miracle and they were laughing at them. Are you getting my point? Listen, if the person is an unbeliever, it's a different matter. You know what somebody said? If you watch the evolution of Christianity, let me tell you one of the reasons why churches split. People talk about church split as if it's because Christians don't know how to unite. Truth is more important to God than unity. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Truth is more important to God than unity. I don't think I have to prove that to you. It's obvious. When Israel decided to be going anyhow, God just took his scissors, cut them, split them. Are you getting my point? There's no fight in it. There's no fight in it. When Lot and Abraham could not agree again, so that there will be no quarrel, what happened? They went different ways. That's just the way it is. A lot of times people sit down and they're analyzing church history as if every time churches split, it is because the people are intolerant of one another. It's not true. Let me tell you one of the major reasons. I don't mean these days when churches just break, somebody, everybody wants his own branch. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about historically. One major reason the church has always split has always been because God wanted to bring out a new light and the old church would not let it shine. Are you getting my point? You all know the story of Martin Luther. Why did the Reformation start? Why did you not have Lutheran churches? All right? It's not because of any other thing than Martin Luther said, you cannot save a soul who has died by paying money to the church. That's it. It's 95 Theses. He simply explained, this paying indulgences won't work. There's only one way for justification, and that is what? Faith. And faith alone. That's all. Listen, either the whole church will agree with him or there had to be a split. Because one thing God wouldn't stand is for that truth to die. You know, let me just say it by the way. This just came to in my mind. I think I just help people. Loyalty. Loyalty. Listen. Loyalty to a big man. Maybe you're a preacher. Is okay as long as it does not shut the voice of truth. If you are loyal, for that reason, truth in your mouth is shut up. Let me tell you the truth. You will die early. Your loyalty will not save you. Are you hearing my point? That word will bless some people somewhere who will listen to this one day. I pray they will understand. Because sometimes, you know, once I was somewhere, a man said, which church do you attend? Then I was the house officer. I mentioned the name of the church. I said, Chapel of His Glory. He said, which one is that one again? I said, well, I got to the town. My friend introduced me to the church. I met, described the church. Ha! He shook his head. I said, my God, when God will come back, there will be a lot of judgment to judge you. It was an older man. I was a very young boy. Just finished university. I was doing my house job. I felt like saying that, which one will he judge? The man who came, started the church, and is teaching the word of God, or you that don't understand whether you are born again? Do you understand? But just because you were born in a particular church, you feel safe. Anyway, let me just continue saying things I'm saying, because I want to close this one today. All right? Listen to this. That just by the way. It will help somebody one day. It will help somebody one day. I am so sure of it. If you look at it historically, the reason why churches used to split, major splits in the church, is just simply so that truth can come out of the old. That's all. That's the major reason. And one thing that I was saying, that the danger of those who listen to John, that's the danger. Because after God has moved with them and blessed them in that particular season, when a new thing will want to come out, people usually find it hard to accept. And that's the danger in the lives of those who already originally followed John. Somebody said something some time ago. How many of you know SU? SU. Olayinka, you should know SU. You are going to preach there in August. There are people that, no, I'm not angry with them. Why should I be? We are going to preach there in their convention in Abuja. Is it August, Abi? Yes, in August. So I'm going to go there. But when I was in university, one of my friends said something. He has understanding, deep understanding. If you remember when we were young, Christianity, that's true Christianity, the other name was SU. Are you getting my point? Yes, the only other name people knew for it. They said, how is he now? The boy is now an SU. Even if you did not go to SU, it was now SU. If you change your dressing, you are now SU. Okay? Now, but what happened over time? People born in the last 20 years don't even know that name exists. You know that? Most people don't know it exists, but they are there. I said, we're going to preach for their convention very shortly. They are there. My friend said this many years ago. He said, do you know why it happened to them like that? I said, why? He said, because when God came forth with the message on the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they rejected it. Listen, in the body of Christ, things come in waves. And I said to us before, people say that this movement is over. Let's go to the next one. No. Listen, when a movement comes, it's supposed to introduce something into your life. For example, holiness movement came. Christianity went into holiness movement, but they were not supposed to ever come out of holiness movement. Are you getting my point? It's not as now we have come out of, and that which was a mistake we made. We left holiness and then went into prosperity, and then we all went crazy in that process. We're not supposed to leave holiness. We're supposed to bring in the faith message, the message about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the message of prosperity into the holiness movement, and then we will remain. Are you getting my point? Listen, another very important reason, this is a problem with those who follow John, why they can't go for deeper truth is pride. There are two churches which, if I were to die suddenly, I want to see whether I'm really dead. Just carry me inside them. If I don't jump up, then I'm really, really, really dead. Two churches in Nigeria today, you won't find me in, even if I'm dead. I won't mention the name because we are recording. And there's one major reason why I will not be found in any one of those two churches. You know the reason? Pride. One of them, they are very holy. Their holiness is their pride. The other ones, they are far from, in fact, they are, what is the opposite of holiness? They are licentious. No, I'm serious. Teenage pregnancy, pastor sleep with member is very common amongst them. Those who know what I'm talking about. Yet, because their pastor is anointed, they are very proud. Pastor sleep with church girl is not strange. It's bad. It's not strange. It's bad. Did I say it's good? But I've seen it before. I will not, because of that, not enter a church. But when I would refuse, is when in the midst of all of this, this is how they say, look down at the rest of everybody else. That is pride. Say, now we, the rest of you, don't know anything. But listen to me. What's my problem? My problem is, how can human beings be this proud? So you see their members, they look at you like, one of the first churches, I used to attend part of them a bit when I was in school. But both of them, I've been around, you see. Both of them, I was serious member in each, so I know what they tell you. So when I left one day, because my mother objected, one man saw me, he said, one of the brothers, where have you been? I told him, listen, I know they come in our fellowship again because I had to move for certain reasons. He sat me down and said, which one do I think is better? I said, both of you are good now. The new one and the old one. You are both brethren. He now prayed with me that God will open my eye to see the truth. I said, obviously, you have already predetermined what God must make me see. I thank the Lord till now. That truth has not become clear. Now, what am I going to say? One of the reasons why people don't receive deeper truth is pride. They believe where they are is all there is to it. Why am I saying this? Because if there is something else, all right, for you to get to, you will never get it unless you receive that new revelation. I told you the other day that there was a man, I mean, there's a man of God. I have so much respect for him. He's an elderly man now. I heard him preaching a message, and he described how those days, if he needed $200, he will have $199. If he needed $400, God will supply $398. And he thought it was godliness. And then one day, instead of needing $400, and when he needed $400, God sent $600. And he was now wondering, God, what do I do with the other $200? He did not even know how to enjoy that. When I say need now, serious need, though, that is, if it's meat, you just buy small. If it's milk, small. You just, that he didn't even know how to enjoy the plenty and abundance. Now, the problem is I had with the message is that when he was speaking, it was as if that was the proper thing. And I said to myself, when I listened to it, I said, no, sir, no, that's not it. God could have supplied more than that. There are those who needed $100, did not even get 10. Like, and the woman could tell you his story. All right? But this one is, you needed 100, you just got about 100. What does that mean? God was itching, yes, to give you more. But that was where your faith limited him. Not because it was the right thing, but because that was all you understood. And you listen to this, then people like that, not him now, people like that often do something. They now listen to a message on, say, prosperity, and decide from the beginning that it's a message of covetousness. Let me add this one. I said that the defense. If any new doctrine comes in, before you start judging and judging, settle down, pray. Ask God to give you understanding. Are you getting what I'm not to explain? And except it directly contradicts what is clear as the word of God, don't let affiliation, you know, loyalty, the denomination you belong to, judge that doctrine for you. Because what will happen if the new doctrine is true? Now, listen to what I said. The mistake people often make is that they leave the old. Are you getting my point? And they want to move on to something entirely new. God didn't say abandon the old. What did he say? Hold on to the core substance that was in that old thing. And the new thing is just something I want to add to that which you have already. So Solomon said like this, take hold of one, the old one, and then let go. That's, take hold of one, the new one, and don't let go of the other. That's the one you're already holding. I don't know, are you going to say? That is, you're holding one already, a new one comes, hold that one, don't let it go, then take hold of that which has just come. Are you getting my point? My emphasis, please, is this. God has to add new truths, deeper truths to your life to lift you up from where you are to where you are supposed to be. Your life is a reflection of what's inside your heart. Listen, what your life will be is purely that which God has been able to press into your mind. That's all I'll say, because I want to end this message here. Next time we'll begin, you know, last time we talked about the gospel according to Ruth. Next time I want to begin to talk about learning from Moses. Just by the way, I don't know how long we'll be on that. Ruth, I had 4 points. Jotting down, I already have more than 10 on Moses, and I'm not even halfway through his life. But that's from next week. All right? But please, let me just summarize this one today. We need to go for deeper truth. I began this trying to emphasize something to us. Accuracy. Don't be content with, that's how they do it in assemblies of God. But you know, I'm Anglican. If there's a blessing in being in that part of assemblies of God, the man who claims I'm an Anglican will never see it. Are you getting my point? And that's what my message is to you. Please, don't ever, if you see disagreements in the body of Christ, don't take camps, no, take sides. Just join one camp and then stay there. Ask yourself, what is true? There are things I say, I mean, you know, for example, I say all the time, and I make bold to say, I get bolder by the day, that the Bible never commanded that Christians must regularly pay tithes, otherwise they won't prosper. Pastor Bank, are you serious? Yes, I can prove it to you from Scripture, but that's not the point. Don't go home and say, Pastor Bank does not believe it. And then you are happy. I don't know what I get my point. And that's all. You know, in our church, our pastor said it. But the Pastor Bank does not believe it. And you're just happy. Let me tell you something about these days. When God gives light, there's judgment that comes with light. What am I saying? It, whatever is the truth. Now, I'm not talking about what is right or what is wrong. Of course, you know what I think is right, but that's what I think. So I don't want to even talk about that. You don't just take sides and go and sleep. For example, Pastor Banky wrote a book or two where he articulated his points. Collect them. Then go ask your pastor or whoever, please give me your materials on where your points are articulated. Pray. Settle down and listen to both points. And say, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. At the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit helps you understand that Pastor Banky doesn't know this depth yet, fine, then you leave him on his own. But if he tells that, no, what the guy is saying is correct, then don't be afraid to disagree with somebody. You see, the problem is that people think that once you disagree with Pastor Banky, that means the man is wrong on everything. That's the problem. No, it doesn't mean that at all. If you go and buy sweet, I say yes, I'm probably going to bless your marriage on it, even though you think I'm wrong on something else. My message to you is, please, somebody's wrong doesn't mean he's wrong on everything. So if you have to disagree, you can disagree. Not because you want to be disagreeable, but because you must have the truth. You must have the truth. You must have the truth. And I said something at the beginning, there's no plain safe. Let me give you an example. You say, Pastor Mark, what's your problem? I will tell you. For example, if after you finish going to pray, and studying my opinion on tithing and the popular opinion on tithing, as an example, at the end of the day, you now decide that Pastor Banky is right. He said, but you know now, just in case the devourer will get us. Are you getting my point? Every tithe we pay after that day is a worship of the devourer. So Paul said, if you take circumcision, Christ would be of no benefit to you. Are you seeing the way I'm talking about it? What am I saying? When you imbibe truth, live the truth. You know my point? Live it in your life. That's what I'm saying. Let it be a part of your life. If you understood that they said Jesus is not in Jerusalem, and every money, if somebody asks, please contribute money, we want to send our pastor on pilgrimage. If you give money to that offering, you're a sinner. But if they tell you that, we want to go and look, we just want to go for what do you call it, sightseeing, it'd be so nice to see the world. Fine. But if you take actions that appear as if you believe that Jesus is in Jerusalem, you have just denied the faith. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm going to make. Please, so. Every piece of truth you walk away from, you are walking into a curse. Now, I beg you. If God reveals truth to you, don't run away from it. Don't play safe. What do you do if you are not sure? Take the materials, go home. That's when you fast. All this fasting because witches are chasing you. It's not the will of God. You fast to know the truth. You fast to be established in that which is correct. Take the materials, get the truth, and live by it. You must worship the Lord thy God only. And he's the only one you must serve. I hope what I've said has made sense. If you have understood me, say amen.
Amen.
If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.